got the shake running.
Mm-hmm.
That's from all that lifting you had to do for Pete yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are free refills.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Are you ready, Ronnie?
Yeah. Yes.
Romans 6. We've spent a lot of time on this because I think it's so important. But anyway, verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's a strange way of saying it. But it gives a definite, it means, what it really means is that as long as you serve self, there is no possibility of ever being right. As long as self is the foundation of your life, then there is never a possibility of being righteous. It's can't happen. You can be comparatively good to some other people or comparatively righteous to someone, and that's why we have to judge people, because it's this strange conundrum that you have to feel better than at least one other person on the face of the earth in order to have justification for your activities. Does that communicate? That's why you judge people. That's why you judge other people down. Because there has to be a place for you to stand and say, yes, but I'm not like that. And that's where we get the illusion of progress. Everybody understand that? All right. Verse 21, what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now the better translation of that is, what benefit did you ever have? What benefit did you ever gain from this? And that's why I've always said your mind and your emotions have never been your friend. So what benefit did you ever gain by serving self? No. Unless this is understood, then you'll always be deceived. But you have to say, what benefit have I ever gotten in any of those things? For the end of those things is death. And remember, the way you perceive death as instead of some philosophical concept, you would perceive death as separation from someone or something you love. So no matter what you do, the wages, the end of it is death, is separation. And then, of course, the final separation of you're separated from God. Now, but now being made free from sin or free from self and become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now, there's an interesting way that should be stated. Well, let's go to the next one first. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So back to 22 a minute. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. it's not saying, it shouldn't read not being made free, but having been freed. In other words, it's a past action with a present result. You are freed from sin. Now, you didn't become freed from sin when you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You have always been freed from sin because of Pentecost. But the moment you had to go and push it all the way to the end, in every area, either by experience or by empathy, so that you could see that you, this other way, the way of sin, the way of self, only leads to emptiness and separation and aloneness. Otherwise, you continue to do other these little tricks, and you try to make offerings to people, and you feel uncomfortable around certain people. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't just be because your presence isn't enough. You can't do it. And so you always have to be trying to say the right thing and trying to look the right way. And obviously in the world you can see it clearly because, you know, you have to dress up in a certain way and you have to act a certain way and you don't say those kind of things. But to do it here, to respond differently to different people, that in itself is the revelator of the sin that has to be repented of, because you're still concerned with what is going to happen to you. I remember the first time I told Pete that his shyness was the ultimate form of pride because he cared what people thought about him.
That's the old Pete.
That's the old Pete, yeah.
We all liked him.
That was before he became the dark overlord.
Dark overlord. Yeah. Steal the dork overlord.
You got it right, the dork overlord. Exactly right.
Is this where we want to go this morning?
Dork.
Take your fish.
Dork.
He's lord of the dorks.
Great name for a novel.
All right.
I'm thinking about this, how In this servant of sin place, your whole life is lived in response to what other people think and feel. It doesn't matter what you think or feel. It's how will I be accepted, received, responded to. And you're just a hunk of flesh.
Why do we have to live like that?
What's that?
Why do we have to live like that?
Because you're servants of sin.
Okay, in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. If this is in every kind of chick track and little, you know, the chick, you know who those tracks are?
Chick's the publisher.
He's a publisher. It's called their chick tracks. And there are all these little, no, not chicks like girls. No, they're called chick tracks. And he's got a track for everything. And you pass them out. And this is.
Pat's the CEO of that company.
What?
Pat Booth's the CEO.
And Bruce Fogarty is the vice president.
He's the minister of information.
I always turn him down.
But they're cliches. The wages of sin is death. And so that becomes, since you've been doing this immoral stuff.
Read this.
Go pass them out like Gary and his little Bible college thing. They were going to go down and they made an annual trip to New Orleans at Mardi Gras. And they passed out these little tracts and they talked to people. And, don't you know what you're doing is sin?
As Joe Bob said when the Baptist convention was in Dallas, pardon me, sir, but I'm a worker for the Lord and I was wondering if you could direct me to the dens of iniquity.
There was I don't know if it was satirical or not, but I'll say it anyway. That in one of these places where they had the humongous convention, maybe it was Baptist or somebody, but the hotel employees said it was the greatest, highest, the highest percentage of pornography on the hotel TV. No, but again, it's because whatever you're consciously against, you're subconsciously subject to. Did any of you read this new in our newsletter, this last newsletter about that the senator, what's his name?
Craig.
Senator Craig and Ted Haggard have started a new manly organization.
Manly Man Ministries.
Manly Man Ministries. If you don't get the newsletter, you should. But the wages of sin is not, it's the wages of, and it says it in the next chapter, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Remember Jesus said to the people, the disciples that believed on him, he said, you are of your father the devil. That can't get any more higher than sin. The wages of sin is what you are, not what you do. And the wages of what you are is death because of the curse.
Past tense.
Like, yeah, you can't do anything about it except die.
And it's not a threat, and it's not live by my rules or get out of the house. It's a statement of fact for our admonition.
Right.
And this thing you said about 20, I'm still back on that. That what it means is that if you're in the flesh, you can never be right. It's just know that.
Wages, the word wage is an interesting word. It's opsonion. And it means it literally means what you purchase to be eaten. Like what's the example? Well, many times, it's not what you purchase; it's what you do so that you have something to eat. And it comes from, it was in many times in the armies of this period of time, they didn't pay them per se, but they got to keep the loot. But the only thing they did for being that warrior is they had something to eat. And so that's what it's saying. I mean, you're this, you're on this constant battle for self, and it's and you're trying to make yourself this thing, this image, and so what you're doing really is you're doing all that so you have something to eat. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Not huh?
Eating dust on you.
Right. It's you're being led by your appetites, and the only thing you can eat is dust. No matter what it is, no matter what you do, you're led by your appetites because you're stirring around in this earthen vessel, just like Cain did. He stirred around he tilled the ground so that he would have something as an offering. And it was not accepted. Why? Because Abel saw that the mystery of God was in Christ. And so that's why the sacrifice. He saw Christ in the lamb that he sacrificed. If we truly understood it, that's why the bread and the wine of communion is so critical. Because it's really the prayer we say, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. That's our only way. That's what this wage is. We eat him, his life, not all this other crap we do to gain some kind of image. And then what I'm thinking about right now is I'm sorry, I'm picking on Gary again. I almost never pick on Gary, but
he feels bad if you don't.
Gary was a 98-pound weakling, probably a 68-pound weakling. He was skinnier than you can ever believe. He didn't have a chin. And he was so self-conscious as this little kid that he did anything for acceptance, and he created a mindset. He created a memory in his mind that did not exist. And what he did then is he worked his tail off to become this, in many ways, a world-class athlete, a gymnast, so that he didn't have to face self. And so everything he did was he was doing it as the wage, so he had something to eat. Does that communicate? Does that touch you, Gary?
Yeah, that's interesting. The wage part, you know, that is food, no doubt about it.
So what you try to accomplish, you try to fit in, you try to do, and all of those things are the wages so that you have something to, that's what you're getting paid in, having something to eat. But no matter what it is, the only thing you can eat is dust, because that was the curse. You'll be led by your belly, your appetites, and you will eat dust of the earth all the days of your life.
What I've just heard you say is that there's two positions. One is you search the face of the earth your entire life looking for something to eat and something to drink. Or at your center is a fountain of living water. You can never thirst again, and bread is brought forth from the earth. It's not... Your life isn't from something outside that you reach for. Your life wells up within you, wherever you go.
That's why Isaiah said, come on to me all, whatever he said about being thirsty, and I'll give you, you never thirst, and you get the food, you'll never again be hungry. So you're not led by your appetites anymore. And then that's tested on a second-by-second basis, to see whether or not you're going to opt for dust again rather than eating of the flesh of the Son. And that's everything. I mean, that's really, in a way, that's what time and space is for, to see if anything can cause you to return back to eating the dust, to be led by your appetites. That's why there's so many things that in each person there's a system. Let me pick on Glenn. Glenn, he's been to every rehab center in the universe, and some that aren't. And then he would get out of the rehab, he'd be out for a few days, maybe a month, and then he'd go to work to help people who were drug addicts. And it always failed because he was trying to eat the work. I mean, it was that was his thing. And I could pick, man, I could go on each one of you, that you, that your standard food your entire life is what you worked for, so you could have something to eat. You know, with Harry, it was having everything just right, and he had to accomplish something, and he had to have visible evidence. With me now, I like to wash the dishes because it's the only thing that I can do where I have, the only thing I ever do where I have effort expended, results seen. Because it's certainly in what I do normally. I've never seen any results from what I do normally. But every one of us, and some it may be helping others, other, you know, whatever it is, some it may be, who knows? But you understand what I'm saying? That's what you've eaten all your life. It doesn't matter what food you put in your mouth. It's you gain sustenance and satisfaction from these things, these activities. And you've got to come to a place where the taste of that, what you used to eat for sustenance and satisfaction, has to become bitter in your mouth so that it can't, no longer has any attractiveness. You know, that's why, you know, when you go back in the scriptures where Ezekiel was told to eat the roll and it was bitter in his mouth. Anyway.
This is another one of those digital things, because you're either eating
the flesh of the Son
or wages of sin.
Right. And you gain worth from the liquid or the wine, or drinking of the wine or any liquid is a metaphor for what you think, what you get worth from. And I mean, think about that if you want to figure out things you've tried to get worth from. you know, you try to get worth from watching the Dallas Cowboys or talking about the Dallas Cowboys or the Mavericks or whoever it is. That you're getting worth from other people's accomplishments. And that's really, really, you must be really thirsty. Let's go to John 12, I think.
The big John.
No, wait a minute. I think it's John 6. Yeah. And you remember, you got it. Does everybody understand what you've done your whole life to try to get sustenance and satisfaction? Does that communicate to everyone? Mm-hmm. And then what you drink is what you. What you drink is what you gives you worth, and you've tried everything to give you worth. And that's why the communion, the bread and the wine, is so critical in our understanding. But we always, you know, either somebody says, oh, that cracker you're eating is going to turn into the flesh of Jesus, or, you know, some other horse shit.
If you really hear that these wages are for your efforts, and if you see it, you know, if you really see it, the application of it, then the message that the gift of God is eternal life, it'll blow your mind.
That's, yeah.
It's incredible.
And that's what it says. Well, we'll get there in a minute if I finish this. Okay.
I'm not saying that.
John 6, verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And you remember, that manna, the word manna means, I can't say that here, can I? Yeah, what the F is it? What is it? That's what manna, the word means in Hebrew. And so, they had no idea what it was, but it satisfied every desire of the heart, unless there was guilt or idolatry. And so when there was guilt or idolatry, the manna became bitter. And so then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Now, and it goes on and on. And then over, let's go over to... Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now,
man, boy, I've never even seen that passage.
Now, listen. He just fed the 5,000. Now, 4,988 left him because of that. He said this.
This is just really something, because this is, I mean, you have to decide. I mean, either this is the Son of God saying what is, or this is some lunatic saying something that isn't true. It's like, how can a bird fly? The bird flies by jumping out of a tree. It doesn't think about it. Like walking on the water. You just walk on the water. What he's saying is, you will not thirst, you will not hunger.
You remember what I told you from the beginning? You wanted a definition of faith. This is faith.
This would put every rehab center out of business. Believe this.
Well, I don't have anything against NA or AA or rehab centers.
No,
they're fine.
You know what I'm saying, though? I mean, if you really believe this, like what Harry was saying, you don't need any more self-help.
Well, self-help is who's the self that's being helped.
And this also brings to mind the thing about there's nothing outside of man that coming into a man defileth the man. It's that which is within. I mean, there's nothing on the outside that you're going to reach out and make an effort to grab and put in you that is going to do anything for your good or your bad. It's meaningless.
All it does is reveal what's in you.
Let me ask you a question. So when he's talking about eating his blood and his flesh, are you talking about doing communion each time? Or is it every time you put something in your...
No. What I believe and what I teach is that every time, again, stop and think. You can't hold your breath for more than 3 minutes. Maybe if you really are a great athlete and have trained, you might go up to 3 or 4 or 5 minutes even. You can't go without water for more than 3 or 4 days. You can't go without food for 40 days. If your breath is a revelation of really the exhalation of you and inhalation of the Holy Spirit, if your need for liquid is in truth the constant need for affirmation of your worth, but by drinking only His blood, then every time you drink liquid, it should be, "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who createth the fruit of the vine." That's why even, you know, if you were in a prison camp, you could drink muddy water and eat dirt as your communion, because it's simply the act of the affirmation of that truth which is. I have no life without His Spirit. I have no worth without His blood. And I have no sustenance nor satisfaction without His life, without His flesh. And so let's pray, let's hold hands and pray. That's just crap. It's what you do internally that counts. Every time I drink or eat, I recognize, especially drinking, that for some reason I always drink. I mean, that his blood comes to me every single time I drink, internally.
I was hearing this in light of the discussion of wages.
It's exactly the same. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's our wage.
Right. It's not a physical eating.
It's freely given.
It has nothing to do with the wine. It has nothing to do with the bread. It has nothing to do with what's coming in. It has to do with what's going on right here. The knowledge of my source, the source of life. What is life?
How you make the bread is a revelation of the mystery of God, and how the wine is created is a revelation of the mystery of God. So that's why they're chosen. The lamb, the bread, and the wine are the main symbols of the Christian faith. But they're not ends in themselves. They're metaphors to show us something far deeper for which there are no words. Now back to Romans 6, real quick. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not... Here's what it should say. It says, the gift of God is life, eternal, in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us. That's what it literally translates. The gift of God is life, eternal, in Christ, only in Christ, the Lord of us. That's why it used to make me so upset when people had a secular life and a religious life. I mean, that's crap. The Sabbath isn't a day of the week. The Sabbath is a person. It's Jesus Christ. In Him, you've ceased from your own labors. No longer eating the wages of sin. Well, no. Everybody understand this a little bit better? Anybody have any other thoughts or responses? Kevin's looking up something to contradict me.
I have one quick thing I want to say, which is I've said before about this lifelong kind of dream of mine to be able to travel the world without suitcases. This is not only traveling without suitcases, but it's traveling. You don't need traveler's checks. You don't need money. You don't have to worry about where you're going to stay. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or drink. God is saying,
"That's why Jesus
will be there."
That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "When you go out this time, take no script, no nothing, take no bag,
so you can walk,
no cloak,
with nothing but a cheap pair of sandals and a robe."
But if, according to some, Jesus owned a donkey with all kinds of crap on it.
And an Airstream.
And a ribs. And a strip.
Yeah. Storage unit, too.
Storage unit.
I used to say if everything you own couldn't fit in the back of a camel, you got way too much shit. But now I'm going to say if everything you own doesn't fit in the back of an ant, you've got too much.
Get a bunch of ants.
You know, the freedom is,
I said an ant. The freedom is owning nothing. That's why the other cliche that's become around here is be light as a feather. If you have the weight or concern about anything, and if you don't give it up to God instantly and continue in that life and walk of light as a feather, then you're a fool. You think you're so special that the sacrifice of God wasn't enough for you. What are you talking about now?
Freedom is just a word, another word for nothing left to lose.
I hate people that get their theology from songs or movies or television shows.
It's all a parable.
In many ways, in many places, a portion of the truth has been revealed.
Yeah, it's us apart from the cross.
Oh, shut up, all of you. Now somebody else will write me and tell me I shouldn't tell people to shut up. Screw you. Take it, big guy.
Janis Joplin. She's the one who wrote or sang, "Lord, won't you buy me a mercedes?"